Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to episode 25 of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh. Unfortunately, I'm not joined by my co-host Tobias in this episode. I'm here to discuss the trade for Cam Reddish by the New York Knicks, making some moves before the trade deadline. Exciting stuff. Excited to add another piece. And Knicks fans are speculating. Yes, they are, all over social media, mainly Twitter. Who's it going to be? Going to talk about it in this episode. Roll the intro music. All right, I welcome you in. Normally we do an episode after our five game predictions. At the end of every episode, we do five games that we predict. And then after those five games are over, we come back to you and we recap the last week or so of Knicks basketball, what happened in those five games. But this is an emergency podcast, an emergency episode. Had to talk about Cam Reddish. I will also mention the last two games the Knicks have played, two wins in a row against the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks. And I'll remind you of our next three game predictions. When it comes to the prediction stuff, everything is the same there. I just wanted to get my thoughts out and obviously report, because that's what this podcast should also do. We're a Knicks podcast. We should report Knicks news. I want to let you know of what is going on. So I said before the intro music rolled that Cam Reddish is now a New York Knick. Now, you should know who this guy is. I believe he was the 10th pick in the 2019 draft. He's from Duke. He was on the team when RJ Barrett was there, and he was part of the the triple threat, let's say, with Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish. So, what Knicks fans have been speculating, and I don't mean to go to it so quickly without even talking about Cam Reddish, really. What Knicks fans have been speculating is that, or I don't know if it's speculation or what they want, who they want, Zion Williamson. Yeah, I said it. The first pick of the NBA draft in the same draft class, I believe, in 2019. Zion Williamson they want. Now, this is interesting because Zion Williamson is injured right now and there is no timetable on his return, and there hasn't been since the beginning of December. I want to get into Zion Williamson a little bit more later. So I mentioned how they trade for Cam Reddish. There's 2 years left on Cam Reddish's deal. This is from Knicks PR. It first came out as a Woj bomb, and I think Shams, I'm sure, also tweeted out around the same time that the Knicks acquire Cam Reddish. This is from, again, New York Knicks PR. New York, January 13th. Blah, blah, blah. The New York Knicks announced today that the team has acquired forward Cam Reddish, forward Solomon Hill, and a 2025 second-round pick. So out of those two things, a lot of people are saying they fleeced and they actually got them. I think it's a really good trade. I don't know if it's exactly a fleece, because I would say that the Hawks, they knew what they were doing. They know that they wanted to get rid of Cam Reddish, but they also knew that, you know, they would have to cough up some stuff themselves for the trade to go through. They didn't really get that much back. It really looked like they were trying to get Cam Reddish and his money off the table. Solomon Hill does absolutely nothing in this trade, I want to say. Hill hasn't put up like any points so far this season in the time that he's played games. I know he started a few games for the Hawks. I think that's just because of injuries and COVID. The man hasn't done anything. Cam Reddish, though, in limited playing time, I don't think he's even started, but in limited playing time this season, he's, I think, still averaging a good amount of points, and I'm going to get to the stats on his season in a few minutes. But anyway, I think that second round pick is also pretty cool that we acquire. It was from Brooklyn, from Atlanta, in exchange for forward Kevin Knox. Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Kevin Knox. Under Tom Thibodeau, he hasn't gotten play time. The man has not gotten play time. The last time that Kevin Knox played, I want to say actually was against the Dallas Mavericks in garbage time with like the last minute left in the game. Let me see if I'm right on that. Double check. Yeah, Kevin Knox played 1 minute and got 1 point. So I don't know how much attraction he got from the Atlanta Hawks, because he hasn't really played under Tom Thibodeau, but he was involved in the trade, I guess, just a young guy maybe that they can trade. I don't know, but the Hawks got him and a future first round pick. That's a big one, acquired via Charlotte. In addition, New York has waived guard Ryan R.C. Diangono. Gonna move on from that. So describing Reddish a little bit here, he is 6'8", 218 pounds. He holds a career average of 11.1 points, 3.4 rebounds, 1.4 assists, and 1.1 steals over 118 games. That's 62 starts over that 118 game span over three seasons with Atlanta. He's currently averaging a career best of 11.9 points, 90% shooting from the free throw line, and 37.9% shooting from downtown. Yes, I've read a lot about this after we made this trade. Cam Reddish has been improving significantly when it comes to field goal percentage and three-point percentage. And the Knicks, they've been shooting a lot of threes, as we know, this season. So to bring a guy who's a pretty good three-point shooter, that's someone to add to the arsenal, and that looks pretty good. And he's still young. He's still improving. He's still getting better. So that's good. He could definitely improve from the three-point line already more than he has. So in 34 games, 7 starts this season for the Hawks. That was talking about the 37.9% from downtown over 23.4 minutes in 34 games, 7 starts for the Hawks this season. He recorded a career high of 34 points on December 22nd against Orlando, and then followed up with his second career 30-point effort with 33 points against Chicago on December 27th. The 22-year-old was selected by the Atlanta 10th overall in the 2019 NBA draft, one season at Duke University, where he was teammates with RJ Barrett, although it didn't seem like they were friends. But I'm sure that's already chemistry and a connection from Duke, because they know of each other at least. So they know each other from Duke. They were on the same team. I don't know. I don't think they were directly friends, though. The Norristown, Pennsylvania native averaged 13.5 points, 3.7 rebounds, and 1.9 assists over 29.7 minutes as a Blue Devil. And then they go into Kevin Knox a little bit. I think this is a great trade for the New York Knicks. I think this extends the depth already more than they already have it. A lot of young talent. Now, I think he has 2 years left on his deal. I think he's locked in until the end of like the 2023 season. I think he's locked in until the 2022-2023 season. Then he becomes a restricted free agent. Now, the Knicks could have brought him in just to trade him next season, just to see what happens this year, because they really need that one star. They need that one star. There's no debating that. The Knicks cannot win a championship with the team that they have right now. So they might have just gained Reddish to, I guess, play through this season, then before the start of or during next season, use him in a bigger trade for a superstar, or maybe use him in a bigger trade for a superstar this season. I can't imagine the Knicks trade for a guy like Cam Reddish just to trade him immediately. You would have to think that he stays around for a little bit. But just now looking at what Cam Reddish can bring to this team, the small forward and shooting guard that he is, he's versatile, so he can play either. You look at RJ Barrett starting, then you have Reddish coming off the bench, and Alec Burks is still on this team. Alec Burks, who's kind of the heart of this Knicks bench, or was last season, and is part of it this season.
I think Quickley is a bigger part of coming off the bench. And then Obi Toppin, who hasn't been as good recently as he normally is. I would say Quick is more the fire off this bench, but Alec Burks is a huge part of that as well. And now Alec Burks can be the third small forward. That's how much depth this team has. So it can be RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish coming off the bench. RJ Barrett starting or Alec Burks. But we have three really good small forwards right now. And then if you look at shooting guard, obviously Evan Fournier, starter, and then Quickley coming off the bench. And then Cam Reddish can also come off the bench too. You also have Quentin Grimes there. Sometimes Quentin Grimes runs a point guard. Sometimes Alec Burks runs point guard. So you kind of have to take it as you will. You have to see your options, and you have to go from there. I just want to pull up the Knicks starting five from the game against the Mavericks the other night. I think it was last night. And see who they had starting there. Okay, so it was Burks starting at point guard, Fournier at shooting guard, Barrett at small forward, Randall at power forward, and Mitchell Robinson at center. So yeah, so looking at it, if they were to start the exact same starting five coming up against Atlanta on Saturday, okay, so in 2 days, then I'm recording this tomorrow, maybe when you're listening. I don't know when you're listening, but when I'm recording this Thursday night, that's in 2 days, okay? So against Atlanta, if they line up at the same starting five, okay, so you look point guard, Alec Burks. His backup could very well be Emmanuel Quickley or Quentin Grimes. Shooting guard, Evan Fournier, his backup, Emmanuel Quickley or Quentin Grimes again. Small forward, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Alec Burks. Power forward, Julius Randle, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson, backup Nerlens Noel, Taj Gibson. So I mean, he does add depth to this team, and I think he could very well be the first. He could be off the bench before Alec Burks, and he's going to be a definite piece to this team. I don't think he's a starting worthy player, but again, a nice player to add to the young core on this team that might eventually be used to help get a big superstar. But for right now, just improve the team in general. And I think, yeah, I think it really was a great move by Leon Rose. I don't think that he lost too much. The first round pick, I know some people might not fully love it, but you're going to have to give up something to get a caliber player, a high caliber player like Cam Reddish. The Knicks did that. The Knicks got back some stuff as well. So I think it's a really good move for this team. About the speculation of Zion Williamson, because I mentioned it earlier. Listen, Zion Williamson, first of all, the man is overweight right now. We heard about how much he's over 300 pounds. So he could be 315, could be 330. The numbers are flying around like crazy, so we don't know what's right. But the last thing that I know about Zion Williamson is that he's injured. The man is not healthy. And I don't know if you want to trade for a player who, by the way, has so much value. They're going to overvalue him, the Pelicans. Because he is a 2019 round pick, pick one. I remember that 2019 draft. I mean, I'm sure you listening remember that Zion Williamson was like the most overhyped player in the NBA draft, probably since LeBron James. Probably since LeBron. The amount of people who watched Duke games on the regular and saw his highlights to know of the windmill dunks and how crazy the Duke fans would go to watch Zion Williamson play as a power forward, as a big man, as a finisher, you know, as a strong guy in the paint. Was massive, the amount of hype that he had. So you got to think the Pelicans are going to overvalue him for what he's done. And when he's played, don't get me wrong, he's sensational. He's a very good player. I want to pull up his stats because when he is healthy, he's really good. The problem is he's not healthy. In his first season of the NBA, in the 2019-2020 season, he only played 24 games. In those 24 games, yeah, you're right. He averaged 22.5 points. In the 2020-2021 season, he was there for basically the whole season, played 61 games, started all 61, and had 27 points per game. 27 points per game. The assist total was 3.7 assists. He had almost a steal, but a really good job by Zion Williamson. He's a really good player, so I really like him there. And then we can move on now. Let's see what else we got here. To the two games that the Knicks played against the Spurs and against the Mavericks. So starting off with the Spurs. Knicks won 111-96. And going through the stats here, RJ Barrett with 31 points in 31 minutes. Barrett has been popping off recently. He also did very well against the Mavericks, so good job by him. Burks had 16 points. And then let's see. Let's go to the Mavericks game. 108-85. It was on primetime, ESPN. Great job overall by the Knicks. Completely outscoring the Mavericks. They held them low. I have this these quotes from Empire Sports Media, their reaction article to it. I'll read them now. The Knicks got the job done against the Mavericks, scoring 108 points and shooting a phenomenal 44.4% from three-point range and 46.7% from the field. They held Dallas to just 21.6% from deep, holding Luka Doncic to 21 points and just 5 assists. In fact, three of Dallas' starters didn't crack single digits, with all of them posting a negative plus-minus. Third-year guard RJ Barrett led the way for the Knicks, scoring 32 points, shooting 13 of 22 from the field, and 4 of 7 from three-point range. He also contributed 7 rebounds and 2 assists in the win. Julius Randle recorded a double-double, nearly securing a triple-double with 8 assists, 7 points, 17 points, and 12 rebounds. It was a good job by this whole team. The group effort led to this Knicks victory, and I want to go through the stats about it. RJ Barrett again posting more than 30. I think he either tied or he took the Knicks record for the most consecutive games with 30 points. I think it was held before that by Porzingis. Barrett with 32 points in 41 minutes. Talked about Randle already, 17 points in 37 minutes, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. Mitchell Robinson with 19 points and 10 assists. And 10 rebounds, 26 minutes. That's a double-double, right? And then, I guess next up on the list, Evan Fournier with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists in 33 minutes. Mitchell Robinson in that game, the amount of putback dunks was great for this Knicks team. This is what we wanted to see from Mitchell Robinson. I know the injury troubles and the where is this? We hear all about this guy, this potential that he has. He showed it in that game against the Mavericks, the putbacks, the dunks. Great job by Mitchell Robinson in that one. And it really fires the Knicks crowd up. It fires me up as a fan watching from home. So great job by Mitchell Robinson. And to remind you of our record predictions, Josh, I am 20-17. Tobias has caught up to me. He's also 20-17. The Hawks, the next three that we predicted, the Hawks away, we both predicted wins. Hornets home, I predicted a loss. Toby predicted a win. Timberwolves, I predicted a loss, and Toby predicted a win. So we'll see you after these next three games. Again, the Knicks trade for Cam Reddish. Exciting stuff. A great bench piece, a great youngster to add in the team. I want to know what you think. Subscribe to the podcast, drop 5 stars, and you can write a review on Apple Podcasts. And please let me know what you think of this edition of Cam Reddish and how influential or how good he can be for this New York Knicks team. Let me know there. You can also follow us on Twitter at @TCTNSOfficial. I'm on Twitter at @Joshua29. And for now, go New York, go New York, go. And I will see you next time for another episode.
Sharper with Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper. It's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting 3-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. A swish, threes by Starks and dunks by Smith, and no rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a Valley Girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.